Good evening, everybody. James McKinney here with My Science Hour, July 20th, 2023. A myriad of topics to cover tonight. First of all, this movie, The Sound of Freedom, which is certainly making huge headlines, that it overran the Disney, like thriller movie, I forget what it is. Indiana Jones, that's what it was. And so it just blew the market away, and everybody went to see this movie and not the Disney Indiana Jones. And Disney has not been doing too hot since it woke up. When it got woke, it's going broke. Like Target, like Bud Light, like a lot of other companies, and people are just saying, nope, not going to buy there, which is going to lead me into another topic here in a minute. But there's been a huge, the big story about the Sound of Freedom movie about sex trafficking and this guy who was an agent for the government, for the federal government of the U.S., quits his job and goes and rescues these kids out of this international cartel of trafficking kids. And that's the story. And people, there's been two sides of criticism. One says, well, that really doesn't tell the whole story of child trafficking, and it does not. But a lot of times when you're trying to do, for example, I do a boatload of radio. I've done radio for decades. And when I'm on a radio show, I know that I can't, if I'm talking about a certain topic, a lot of times you pick a certain aspect of a topic, and that's what you promote. That's what you talk about. You don't have time to cover the entire field of what's going on. And so in the sense of child trafficking, it's a worldwide business. It dwarfs, for example, Jesse Waters. I was watching a program. He was talking about it. It dwarfs the airline industry internationally. So if you can imagine that, an industry that dwarfs the, and this is talking about Boeing and Airbus and all the other business related to the airline industry, child trafficking dwarfs that. So it's not something that's off in some foreign country and just a few kids. It is massive, unbelievably massive. But the reaction of the mainstream news media was to call it QAnon-like, whatever that means, or like some kind of conspiracy theory, and oh my goodness, they just lambasted this movie. And like I say, the other side of the coin, people criticized it for not being complete enough. But in a movie, you tell a story, and this is a real story. This is not a fiction, something somebody made up. In fact, they're going to bring out the kids that are now growing up a bit more to talk about their experience as this guy went down and had to infiltrate a cartel to get them out of there. So, and just think of the literally millions of kids, especially in the world economy today, where especially in third world countries where the economy is just horrifically bad, and there's no protection for kids, etc., that this is a major issue. And it goes all the way up to the top of government. It goes up to the top of the court systems, the banking systems, international intelligence agency, and that's where the big thing is. Like in the CIA, the big money makers for the CIA are three things: drug trafficking, human trafficking, which includes kids and people of all ages, especially women, and then political agendas that create business for the World Bank to come in, the IMF, and to present loans to these companies where the installed corrupt leaders of third world countries, including the United States, sign over natural resources for these international companies to come in and rape and pillage the countries. So anyway, that's the CIA's three main areas of work, of employment, of gaining money. And, of course, all that money comes back as illegal money, and that's where Ukraine came in. Ukraine was the money laundering capital of the world. So all of these billions, that if you're on the side of, oh, we got to help Ukraine, we got to send them billions of dollars, most of the arms that are being sent there do not end up in Ukraine. They end up in the black market somewhere else, being sold to militaries in other third world countries, etc. And then somebody's making a lot of money off of that. Secondly, the money that's being sent is getting kicked back to congressmen and congresswomen and into their bank accounts, many of which are in Ukraine. And so the banking industry in Ukraine was for laundering money. Anyway, okay, just to clarify that this movie gives a specific case of child trafficking, does not pretend to cover all of the different aspects of this horrifically bad problem all over the place. And I mentioned briefly, you have Bud Light, Target store, the big chain store, and many other industries that are going down the tube because of putting the woke agenda. Now the attorney generals in various states are going after the Target for actually breaking the law and things that they did. So anyway, there's a lot of that in the news, but clearly this movie is turning some heads in the upper echelons of government because they're being exposed. And the worst thing you can do to a pedophile, to someone who is actively engaged in what you would call satanic practices, very unnatural, very unhuman, horrifically bad activities, is to expose them. And, you know, and I'll just tell you a little story here. In my life, I've had defugulties, and it started when I was very young. You know, whenever you do something, whenever you succeed. And I had problems, and I went through all of the, you know, the methods, the normal methods of dealing with things. And then in this one case, I wrote a letter to the editor of this paper. It was kind of like a local issue. And it exposed the people that were trying to undermine me. And oh my goodness, it solved the problem. Because everybody came up to these people and said, "What are you doing to this guy? That was the thing that resolved it, was exposing these people. They were immune to, you know, any type of other legal things or whatever. They just didn't care. But wow, you expose them. And now take these politicians. They're all, I wouldn't say all, but about 99% of them have been compromised in some way, with women at parties or with children or taking them off to some place and filming them, getting them in compromised positions. That's what they do to them. And you get stories like Paul Wellstone or people like Mark Dayton, both from Minnesota, by the way, who entered the D.C. circuit and didn't buy into any of that. And they just said, you know, that Washington, D.C. is just a rat's nest of corruption and, you know, things like that. But the thing that they all fear is being exposed. And that's what they have over them. That's what the people who lord over Congress have over the congressmen, is they have them compromised. And if you don't do what we say, we're going to expose you. You know, you're going to be, your life is going to be ruined. You'll lose your family, your job. You won't be able to, you know, everything about your life is going to be crap. And we're going to do this to you. So just do what we say. And they all do. Anyway, the end result is that exposing people is the worst thing you can do to them. And because they all wear suits and they pretend to be these just honest and uprighteous people. And by the way, that's what proves that everybody has a conscience. Because the thieves, if they didn't have a conscience, and they didn't understand natural law as a basis for their existence, they wouldn't care. They wouldn't care about you, what you think about them, but they all to the T want you to think that they're good, upright people, especially the higher you get up in government, etc. Okay, enough of that. A lot of topics to get to tonight. Brings me into another topic here. I came across a page, and I don't recommend things. I don't know that much about this page to really have looked at it closely, but it's called Gab.com, G-A-B.com, and it's a social media platform. It's kind of like Twitter. It has a little bit more. It has a marketplace that's kind of like Craigslist, or if you got a set of tires, you can sell them there, or you got, you know, something around the house you want to sell, you can put it there. And also, I am actually there for another reason. I'm doing some marketing through them. It looked like an interesting page, so I'm trying it out. But the thing that led me to this page was a write-up by one of the people that emails me regularly. He's has a radio show also. But the topic was starting a parallel Christian economy. Now, Christian people have very different values than other, what you might call, religions around the world. And I think, in my opinion, if I were coming in cold and I didn't have a religion, and I could choose between Buddhism and Hinduism and Muslim religions, the Mohammed-based religions, I would pick Christianity because of the philosophy, etc. I think it's got hands down the best system. At any rate, but the idea is that in the broader world today, things are just getting so crazy that Christians have to come back and kind of like regroup and buy things from each other, etc. So I think that's a good mode. And then also boycott stuff. That's what I was talking before about Target or Bud Light or you know, the myriad of other companies that are really having a difficult time today because of, you know, including sports, professional sports are having a hard time because they went woke. Or Disney. You know, these companies all of a sudden thought they were going to bring in this agenda of weirdness and really satanic practices and push it off to little kids and stuff like that. And the people just go, whoa, no, no, no. This is not, we're not buying into this. And these companies very soon get taken to task financially. But that's one way of dealing with things, because most companies work on a 5% margin or something like that. And the Christian group of people, and conservative Christians in the United States, is huge. It's a huge block of people. Certainly more than 5% of any business gets their business from Christians. So if you just say, okay, well, that company is a little too woke for me, I'm not buying anything there anymore, and that spreads, that's going to be a powerful force to get things back to normal. The other half of that is to have literally what you call a parallel economy, where you buy from people that you know are Christian, and that supports them, and you send your money there instead of going to Target. You know, anyway, it's very interesting. But check out this page. I'm not being paid for this. It's not, there's no benefit to me, but check it out. It's called gab.com. And by the way, you know, my radio show for the decades, many, 23 years now, commercial free, has aired from WWCR, which stands for Worldwide Christian Radio. So, you know, it's something that I live by, and it's kind of a creed, it's kind of a way of being. And there's also some misconceptions that Christians are just these soft people that always fold, turn the other cheek, so to speak. But no, the original Christians were tough people. They had to, you know, take the people that came to the United States, the very first settlers in the United States, were pretty rugged people. I mean, they were leaving religious persecution so that they could come to a place where they could simply practice their religion. But along with that came a pretty tough lifestyle. And so that's where you get what you call the Protestant work ethic. You didn't sit around. There was no time to sit around. Your very existence, you know, you had two options: work your butt off or starve to death. You know, take the two. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to work. And especially when they came to the United States, they were in a cold climate. So they had, you know, 3 months basically to raise crops, get the food in, get everything set for winter, get the housing set, and then have enough to get through the winter and then enough into spring to where they could exist and get into the next year. So you had to work. And then during those winter months, they spent their time on education and other things like that, and that brought in that work ethic. And so, and that's Christian-based also. Okay, so at any rate, just mentioning that, and while I'm at it, I should quick mention that the MR5 warehouse moving sale is still on. We've still got a couple units left. Remember, I was going to sell off about 50 of the MR5 packages to reduce the stock in the warehouse because we're moving the warehouse and I didn't want to move those. So anyways, some of these units are left and they're going to go quickly. So just letting you know, if you're interested in an MR5, you had a huge savings. And just to give you an idea, they normally retail for $23.66. That's the normal retail for the Best Buy package, which includes the MR5, the UV sterilizer, and then the extra set of filters for the MR5. And the UV sterilizer comes with two bulbs, so you basically get about 2 years worth of use out of this before you have to go out and purchase more filter elements, etc. But anyway, on sale for $13.80, so that's like literally $1,000 off. And like I say, the only reason we're doing this is to reduce the stock, so we only have to make one trip when we move to the new warehouse. That's the idea. Okay, so anyway, go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. No, I'm sorry, jmccwaterfilters.com. You could get there also from jmccsci.com. And click on the first link, and that takes you to the water filter page, jmccwaterfilters.com, and look for the, go up to the top, it says shop products, drop down to the MR5, go to that page, and you'll get all the information there. A lot of information there. Okay, so that's it, but make sure you take part in that, because clean water, good grief, is really, really essential. And there have been a lot of people who've taken part in this sale because they, you know, and I talk to people and they just don't have the money. You know, so this is an opportunity for people to get a really amazing water filter system in their house for a very low price. Okay. The UPS strike, this is another thing going on. The UPS strike is pending, and that's another reason to get an order in now, whether you're going to get gravity filter replacement elements or you want the sink filter or the, you know, whatever you want, or the MR5. At the end of the month, UPS may go on strike, so get your order in now, because primarily we ship UPS, so we don't know. So get your order in now to get under the wire and avoid the complications of UPS going on strike. And by the way, if you have any type of gravity water filter in the kitchen, you know, the two stainless steel tanks, one sits on top of the other, I sell the best water filters for those. They're the replacement filter elements. They're the new HI filter elements. They hang down into the lower chamber as a true filter should, because all the water goes through it all of the 100% of the time. And those are not on sale, but still, compared to the price of other products out there on the market, they're really inexpensive. Plus, free shipping on everything. The 10-pack of the HI filter replacements for the gravity, and including the, well, just any gravity water filter, is $399 for a 10-pack and $189 for a 4-pack. And both of those include shipping. Okay, so quick mention of a topic here. You know, when you go out and look at new equipment today, like telephones, cell phones, that is, you look for computers, laptop computers, if you look for tablets, what you're going to find is there aren't any ports. There's no USB ports. There's no phone jack ports. There's no ports. It's just the port where you power, you charge the battery. That's the only port. And you can get adapters to plug into that that then go off to like your USB drives or your USB memory sticks or other things like a headset with a cable on it with the 1/8 inch jack. Or you can even power disks and higher power like terabyte drives, things like that. But there's a trick to it. You have to plug a power supply into those to make them operate because the phone, the tablet, typically don't have enough power to drive those coming out of their little battery pack. But anyway, the point is they're eliminating the ports for the headsets. That forces you to Bluetooth headsets like earbuds. And I don't like that because, first of all, they're kind of junk. They never last. They're really a poor product, a very, very poor product. Sound-wise, I never could do a radio show with earbuds communicating. And so, like, to do this show, I have a headset on. And so I can hear myself, and it's a good headset, and it's being recorded along with live broadcasts, etc. And so what they're forcing you to do with the new 5G phones and tablets and computers is use all microwave technology to communicate. And it's really bad, especially the headset, because with the earbuds, you have this microwave sending-receiving in your ear. I mean, it's like right next to your brain. Terrible, horrifically bad. And then you have the second layer, which is the sound itself. And that can be harsh for your ears, your eardrums, etc. But a very bad technological decision. But remember that they don't consider you important when they make technological decisions regarding especially electronics products. It's mainly a marketing issue. And I don't know if there's anything nefarious in the decision-making, but there is in the end result of having to force people to use earbuds instead of wired headsets plugging into these devices. Now, here's a story that shocked and surprised me. Now, malaria in the United States is something that I think the last case was 20 or 30 years ago. And now, in Florida, they're starting to have malaria cases turning up. And this is the place where this turned up was halfway between, I think it was like on the West Coast, like between Tampa and St. Petersburg on the West Coast. But I might be wrong about that. Let me see. If it's in yeah, that's true. It's Sarasota County between Tampa and Fort Myers in my notes here. But how did malaria get into the United States again when it had completely been eradicated? And here's how it's carried. Say somebody has malaria. Mosquito bites them, flies over, bites another person. That person gets malaria. And that's how it's transmitted. If you eradicate it and you have a mosquito population that doesn't have it natively, then it's gone. It's done for. But someone, and this is guaranteed coming in through people, illegal aliens coming into the country. They're coming in from Africa. They're coming in from South America. They're coming in from other countries where malaria is prevalent. And then, you know, it's just a matter of time. And that's not the only thing. There's things like dengue fever. There's things like tuberculosis, really bad stuff that is coming across the border unabated. So it's not just about people or letting all these nice people come into your country. You're letting all those diseases come in too, and they're everywhere. They're all over the place, and now it's summertime. I mean, you could have malaria starting to turn up in Wisconsin or Minnesota or Michigan or New York in the summertime. You could have malaria cases turning up there, the first ones that have been noticed, and possibly people have malaria in New York or one of the northern states, but don't know it. The doctors wouldn't even think about checking for it. And it turns out that things like, say, tuberculosis in third world countries, there are statistics like 40% of the population in third world countries, in some countries, have tuberculosis. It's very common. And so to simply let these people come across the border unabated is absolute insanity. And this is the result. You're going to get malaria. You're going to get, like I say, dengue fever, tuberculosis, all kinds of other things. And then once it gets going, once it gets traction, how do you get rid of it? Good grief. Here's a story. The Mexican military is taking over airports and other facilities in Mexico. Like, it might be a boat transfer station. It might be someplace that takes tourists on cruise ships. It might be they have, like, inter-island ferries. They have other forms of public transportation. And the military is going in, and especially the big airport in Mexico City and some of the highly trafficked tourist airports around the country are being staffed. Literally, the management, we're not just talking about having troops on the ground walking around with the little AK-47s, that, like a little pea shooter type of thing, with a bullet sticking out the chamber. No, we're not just talking about troops on the ground walking around. We're talking about taking over the management and the facility, the baggage claim, everything. And so the reason is, number one, to protect tourism, but to get rid of the crime which has infiltrated these systems. So drug trafficking and other forms of trafficking, just rampant, and they would be able to call and send messaging through the messaging system of the airport or whatever to tip off the border guards who are supposed to be checking for contraband in the luggage of people, etc., telling them which people and which luggage to let through. And so they're not, and this got to the point where they finally just said, the military is going in and taking over these facilities. Just unbelievable, but it's one of those things that had to be done. And you find that historically other Latin American countries or third world countries have had to do this. Look at El Salvador, for example, went out and simply cleaned up the street gangs and put them in prison. And there's no sentence. They're just there for life. The street crime was so horrific, and now it's a booming country. It's a very progressive country. They're putting in, it's a country that is doing very well, but they had to get rid of that street crime. Just going to give you a little plug here for my Patreon channel. It's patreon.com/jmccsci. Very simple. The same as my main webpage, JMCCSCI. So go to patreon.com, JMCCSCI. And there are people there making a contribution. It could be as little as $5 a month or as much as $700 a month. But what that money would do is help pay some of the bills. Because I pay, for example, my airtime at WWCR. I pay for my own airtime. And I don't have sponsors. I don't have anybody to offset these bills. So that's what that money helps do, is offset some of these costs, the web pages, you know, keeping up with equipment that, you know, have to have updated equipment, or, you know, things go bad, like headsets go bad. And so it helps just pay those monthly bills. The internet, you know, I've got how many web pages? I've got the JMCC Wing web page. I've got the JMCC Water Filters web page. I've got the JMCC SCI page, which is the jmccanniescience.com page, the original page. So anyway, patreon.com/jmccsci.com. Let's see. And my show is, I'm starting to post there. So it's a place you can go and listen to my radio show besides my archives that are on my own homepage. Here's an, as long as I'm talking about the MR5, this is a customer testimonial that I wanted to read. Here's a customer, a woman, she bought an MR5 system, I think a couple of years ago, a year ago, whatever. Anyway, she was at the point of taking out the old filters and putting in the new ones. She had the system originally installed by a plumber, and the plumber put it in, and he was very impressed with the whole system. He thought this was really looked good. He'd never seen anything like it. He was an experienced plumber. But now he's coming back to change out the filter elements. So he takes out the old filter elements, and he looks at them, and he goes, "Oh, my goodness. Look at what this thing is taking out." And if that filter had not been there, this lady would have this, all of this stuff that was in the filter in her body because of taking it in through the shower. And a lot of this stuff is at the molecular level. That's the level which of stuff that's being taken out, the chemicals. And a lot of the stuff that the filter is taking out, you don't see because it's done inside the filter. But just on the surface of the filter itself, there was this stuff. And just to imagine that that would be going through, you would be putting it in soups and coffee and anything you put in the sink in the kitchen, you would be washing your clothes in it, and those toxic chemicals would be coming out of your clothes. When the clothes dry, those toxic chemicals would remain in your clothes. And then the daily shower, where you're breathing in the vapors and the hot water, that toxic hot water, those toxins going right through your skin into your blood system. So at any rate, that's just a little testimonial from a customer, from the plumber who saw these filters and said, "Wow, this thing is really working." Okay, on to the fires in Canada, which keep going on. There's, I talked to a guy, I think it was in Iowa last week, a customer talking about water filters, and there was an index being published on smoke, particulate smoke in the air, in other words, the air pollution due to smoke. So the Canadian fires continue, and many places in the United States, in the northern states especially, affected because of these fires. So, and then the 2023 hurricane season, we are in the middle of that. And every year it's the joke, it's the scientific joke of the century, when the National Hurricane Prediction Center, housed in Boulder, Colorado, part of the National Weather Service, makes its hurricane prediction. And of course, this year it's so stupid because they make a prediction of so many named storms. So many storms will become hurricanes. There will be so many landfall hurricanes. And as if this is some kind of big prediction. But it's really stupid because it would be like me saying, okay, between now and November 1st, it's going to rain 50% of the time, you know, or 30% of the time. Or making some statement based on previous statistics that would tell you, and then you go, well, there's some of these other factors that it might affect it. So there might be a few more days of rain than average. That's all it is. It's really absurd. It has absolutely no meaning at all, but they continue to do this. And I just remind people that back in the day, William Gray, I have tremendous respect for him. I didn't at the time, because he was the one that developed all of these hurricane prediction factors. And one day he got up on the podium and he said, none of this is true. None of this has any bearing on what hurricanes, what causes hurricanes or what affects hurricanes. And he got up and quit. And his right-hand man quit with him. But this charade, this facade, this embellishment of completely ridiculous information continues on an annual basis. And now there's probably 8 or 10 locations that are doing hurricane prediction. And that these people collect a paycheck is pretty absurd. Just bonkers. Okay. Now, this next story is rather shocking. I was surprised at the numbers myself. 2.9 million kids, their parents have removed them from public schools. In other words, they're not going in to sign up for schools. Because on the public record and through the census, they have a very good reading of how many kids are in each house, and not just statistically, but specifically, this house has this many kids, that house next door has this many kids. They know pretty much exactly the number of kids that should be and what grade they should be in and everything. And right now, 2.9 million kids, their parents have pulled them from public school, and those numbers are increasing. Private school enlistments and enrollments have skyrocketed. Most of them are filled and have waiting lists, and there's just no way to even get into them. They're booked up many times years in advance, and once the parents get in there, they're not leaving. So say somebody moves from one community to another, one of the big issues is where's little Johnny and little Susie going to go to school? Because they don't want them in the public school system. And so this is creating an opening. And by the way, if you're in that position, I developed a science education program for K-12. It's a supplemental program. It's not a complete science program. It's not meant to be. But it's a supplemental program that teaches science based on Christian values. And you think, well, that must be a contradiction. Well, no, not at all. Not at all. I'll just give you a little example. A lot of people think, well, there's only two ways to look at where did the cosmos, where did mankind come from, etc. And the only options you're given by the controlled science media is evolution, or God created it 7,000 years ago out of nothing. And, you know, if you look at real science, neither one of those really answers the question. Because nobody was around 7,000 years ago. All we have is just a remnant of history. And but the end result is that to try and define where the universe came from is beyond the scope of our ability to know. And so what we do have, though, is scientific information on how big the universe is. In fact, for all practical purposes, it's infinite. Every time we make a bigger telescope, we see more stuff. And so up until the James Webb telescope or any of the other new big telescopes that are coming online, bigger than the Hubble telescope. Up until a certain point, the Hubble telescope was the biggest telescope, had the best resolution, could see the most things. And then there's a story that there was a patch of the sky that previously astronomers had never been able to see anything. It was just pitch black. So they take the Hubble Space Telescope, they train it on there and do a time exposure, and it turns out that there are tens of thousands, if not millions, of galaxies in this region. But they're so faint that you couldn't see them. And so the end result is that then they came along with the James Webb Telescope, and that's seeing things that the Hubble Space Telescope couldn't see. And so this is an ongoing process. So for all practical purposes, the universe is infinite. So the question with an infinite universe, as far as we can tell, Let's make a similar analogy here. Take a number line. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you start counting. Say you started counting when you were 2 years old, and you kept counting at the rate of about 5 numbers per second. And by the time you're, you know, old person, 80 years old, 90 years old, you're still counting. And you get up to this huge number, and you say, well, I'm just never going to get to infinity. But that number that you count to, or if you took something like all the grains of sand on Earth or all of the stars in the galaxy, those are all finite numbers. Whatever it is, it's a big number, but it's finite. Compared to infinity, it doesn't hold a candle. And so this entire concept of infinity, whether it's time, whether it's space, whether it's distance, whether it's whatever it is, the human brain cannot comprehend it. So in mathematics, we have all kinds of mathematical tricks. One is called induction, for example. It's a mathematical trick to allow you to understand the concept of infinity. And there was a great mathematician, his name was George Cantor, and he did studies, and one of his lifelong studies was dealing with infinities. There's different levels of infinity, and you'd say, well, how can there be different levels of infinity? Well, there are. For example, if you, like I was just giving the example, if you have the counting numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc., there are more real numbers between the number 1 and 2 than there are counting numbers if you go all the way out to infinity. So there are levels of infinity, and George Cantor did a lot of work towards straightening that out, the concept of infinities. And so when it comes to trying to understand something like a divine creator, I'll just tell you a little story. When I was on an Art Bell show one time, and Art was a atheist, and we got into this topic, and I thought, ooh, I better tread lightly here. And so I said, Art, is there a bridge near you? You know, yeah, there's a bridge. I said, have you ever crossed it recently? And he said, yeah. And I was kind of like leading him on. And, have you crossed the bridge? And he said, well, you know, you crossed the bridge. You must have been confident that bridge was going to hold you up and your car was not going to fall through or the bridge would collapse while you're driving on it. I said, did you know the engineer who designed that bridge? Are you confident that there was an engineer that designed the bridge? Well, of course. I mean, you had to have, you see this organized structure. There had to be people that built it. There had to be a plan. The materials had to be ordered up to specification. And they built the bridge. It had a design. Well, how can you look at this bridge? You never knew the architect, the builder, the construction company. But you know that there was all of these things that had to go into building that bridge. How can you look at the universe that has this amazing infinite complexity and everything works? If you look at a carbon atom on our side of the universe, it's the same as a carbon atom on the far side of the universe. You see this amazing organization. How can you say there's no designer, that there's no design, that there wasn't a creator that exists and is somehow... And it's a very simple concept when, like the Native Americans, when they looked at this concept, they realized that the design of the universe was for them. It gave them everything they needed to exist. The Peruvians talked about the Pachamama, the Mother Earth that gave them everything, and they were appreciative. But modern man thinks that they're way above that, that there's no such thing as a creator in modern science, etc. How can you look, especially the scientists should be the most fervent, and I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about simply recognizing that there's a creator. How could a modern scientist look at the complexity of the universe and we're just still, as man, just barely beginning to understand just the basics of this? And this has existed for all infinity back as far as we can tell. And there was no Big Bang. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's a way for scientists to pretend like they have a beginning that does not require a designer, that all of this is random. Absolutely ridiculous. So anyway, back to the idea of the education program that I developed. a lot of these concepts come out in my education program, and it's for homeschooling, and it's for people who want a different method of understanding science for their kids, because even if you're in a private school, you get this science book which forces all of this crap down your throat. And so what I do first in my education program is I educate the parents. That's the first thing, because they went to a school system that had the same garbage. So the whole concept of this education program, it's available on my webpage, jmccsci.com. I have a license for family and a group license. But at any rate, I just want to talk about that because it's so important. 2.9 million kids today not going to public school. I think it's great. I think that nobody should be going to public school. They should be shutting those things down and offering them to private schools. The public school system was taken over very early in its conception. I have friends that grew up and they went to country school where there was one teacher for maybe four or five grades, and there might have been one or two or three kids in each grade in a little country school, and they had to feed the fire at the little wood stove up in front of the school to keep warm. They'd come to school in the morning, the school would be cold, and they had to stoke up the fire and get it warm to have class that day. Anyway, school has turned into this money-making enterprise and taken over by complete idiots. Excuse my expression. But at any rate, that's why I said I'm going to work. I spent 4 years doing a lecture a week extra to develop this education program, and now it's available on my webpage. Okay, one last topic before I run out of time here this week. Every place you look today, you're going to find climate change, especially on the mainstream media. Climate change causes your vacation to be worse. Climate change is going to make the paintings on your wall dribble off the wall. On and on and on. It's just rampant. And they're just, once again, it's one of these scientific claims that has absolutely no basis. Recently, a Nobel Prize laureate physicist came out and said the obvious, that the global climate change thing is a complete hoax. There's nothing to it. And, for example, the people say, well, this summer is the hottest one on record. No, it's not. If you look at global climate averages and temperature averages, it's much colder in some places on planet Earth right now than normal. When you average it out, there's no great increase. And so what they're doing is, with weather manipulation, they're bringing in warm air currents into populated areas and keep driving that warm weather via the wind systems into these areas, and the heat keeps building up and building up to where it's hotter. But that means that someplace else it is colder, but of course they're not announcing that. Then the people run around crying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, Chicken Little. So they try and promote this, the concept of climate change based on temperature, but very poor data gathering, because they're not taking the temperature and averaging all the different places in the world. And this is an agenda. This is for water control. This is for the control of the public. This is to usher in other agendas that the permanent ruling class wants to force on the public. So anyway, you'll see that in the places where you really see this, like CNN, for example. I go there a few times a week to see what kind of crap they're trying to pawn off on you, the public. And it is just every other article. There was an article that Chinese paintings are going to be affected because of climate change. And what else? Your vacation is going to be ruined because of climate change. Not only will your vacation be ruined, but other things in your life, climate change. It's just so pervasive. It's just unbelievable. And so they're pounding on this. And the reason they're doing this is because The permanent ruling class is running scared right now. They've been exposed. People know who they are. They know their agenda. They know they're involved in pedophilia. They're involved in child and human trafficking, drug trafficking. That's the agenda on the Mexican border, for example, obviously. The blue cities, where the agenda is to absolutely destroy the place, and where it's clear right now that the cities are paying for drugs for these street people, and it's a big money-making business to keep these people completely whacked out. There was an interesting statistic I saw. There was a policeman who was working in San Francisco. Only 3% of the street people in San Francisco, and San Francisco is like the streets are covered with street people living there on the street with no place to go to the bathroom, no place to shower, just completely drugged out with heroin, with every form of drug that you can imagine, living on the street. Only 3% of those people are native people from San Francisco. The people are swarming to these cities to live on the street in droves because they get free drugs. It's absolutely insane, but that's what's going on. So now it gives you a clear picture that the cities are involved in funding these. Every year these cities appropriate more and more money to somehow solve the homeless problem, and it gets worse. Well, it's getting worse because when only 3% of the people on the street are from the city, that pretty much tells you that the people are going there to get free drugs. So every drug addict in the country is flooding to these blue cities to get free drugs. And who's paying for? Somebody's paying for them. They're coming across the border. They're big ticket items. And so who's moving this? Who's allowing it to come into these communities to the point it's on the streets? Well, it's clearly the city governor, mayor, the city council, whatever, the police, whoever is involved in this, allowing the drugs to come in because they're making money off it. They're making money off the destruction of these people. At any rate, and the, you know, when you look at CNN, like I say, the agenda is climate change. It's just one of the agendas that's being pawned off on the public, including bad science in general. Okay, here's another thing that's come up, and I'm just going to comment on it quickly from a certain point of view, but there's people saying that there's snake venom in the water. And so now here's the situation with snake venom. Snake venom has to go into the skin and below the skin line, like into a muscle or whatever, and it has to be a fairly significant dose. And so for someone to take and put snake venom in the water supply, they would have to have literally hundreds of thousands of gallons of snake oil, or snake venom, I'm sorry, snake oil. That's, well, it's like snake oil salesman. But anyway, they would need literally hundreds of thousands of gallons of this. You would have to see tanker trucks pulling up, dumping off every minute of every day. I mean, it would be patently obvious that, but the whole point is that snake venom, you require quite a bit of it. It has to be injected in below the skin. And for example, I was bitten by a scorpion one time. I was in the tropics. And this thing was in my boot, and whenever you put boots on in the tropics, you got to kick them out, make sure there's nothing living in your boot. And I did that, but this thing hung on, and anyway, it bit me at the end of the toe, and it was a very deadly scorpion, but I had very thick socks on, so it only just grazed the end of my toe. And boy, it stung. It stung horrible. And so but anyway, it really didn't affect me because it didn't get that much venom into my toe. But it could have killed me. That's how, you know, it was a brown one, little teeny one. The little teeny ones are the worst. Okay, so at any rate, but the point is that for someone to put snake venom into the water system to poison people on a large scale, they would need literally hundreds of thousands of gallons of this, and they would have to be pouring it in constantly, and you simply don't see that. There's no physical way this could be done. Because, anyway, just a quick comment on that, because that rumor is going around. Apparently there's some movies coming out about it, and we don't see people dropping dead all over the place due to snake venom in the water. Okay, so at any rate, I don't like getting into these controversial issues, but when they get out of control like that and nobody else seems to understand what the real issue is and how to bring sanity to the front line on these topics, then I step in. Okay, so just a quick reminder that the MR5 water filters, this crazy sale, we might call it Crazy Days sale, the warehouse moving sale is going to end in a couple, I don't know, in a day or two, I don't know. But the MR5 best deal package, that's the MR5 water filter, the UV sterilizer, it comes with two bulbs, so that gets you out 2 years, and then the extra pack of filter elements for the MR5. That package, normally $2,366, now available for $1,080. And like I say, we're moving to warehouse, had to cut down on some of the stock, so we only have one move to make, and so we knew how much stock we had to eliminate, and we're pretty close to that goal now. So if you don't get there, and then after that, the price are going to go back up, probably higher. And so go to the webpage, jmccwaterfilters.com. And also remember that I have the grow towers. I forgot to mention these. The grow towers, the vertical grow towers where you grow vegetables in a very small space. They're organic. There's no herbicides or pesticides needed. And you grow these fantastic vegetables and fruits in the comfort of your own home. Once the tomatoes, the cucumbers, the lettuce start producing, you just clip them and they continue to grow for months and months at a time. So it's an amazing system. And you'll find that on my webpage also, the jmccsci.com webpage. So go there, and the grow towers, the water filters, and remember the gravity replacement water filters, $399 for a 10-pack, $189 for a 4-pack, free shipping. And I'm just about out of time here, so I will talk to you next week. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.